Welcome to Power Your Profits Podcast, your friendly guide in bringing your business revenue to the next level. Listen as host Susie Carter hears inspiring stories of success from her fellow entrepreneurs and transformational leaders. Prepare to make significant change to your strategies as they unravel the secrets of building multi-million dollar businesses and the most effective tips on finance, marketing, and sales accountability. If you want to make your first step towards explosive business growth, this is the right podcast for you. Without further ado, here is your host, Susie.
Welcome to Power Your Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Susie Carter, and Profit Coach. And today, my guest is Alana Vincent. She's a business strategist, speaker, best-selling author of Teach Your Expertise. She's known globally as the creator of Profitable Online Challenge Formula, which helped her grow her business from zero to over $1 million in just 4 years. Please welcome my guest, Alana. Alana, I am so excited to share you with our audience because you are a secret weapon. And I only bring secret weapons on the show because we all need secret weapons. And there's a ton of people out there that say they can do it, but I know you can do it because I have the kind of the insiders group with the group that we met through. So share with everybody, what is your badass list? Why should we pay attention? Why should we listen to you? And why are you the jam for this thing called creating profitable challenges?
Gosh, that's a funny question. It's almost like I get to brag about myself.
Yeah,
I usually don't do that. So the interesting thing about my journey is I did not set up to be an entrepreneur, like ever. Growing up, I had my career in academic world kind of laid out in front of me because I'm a third generation teacher. So I never, ever, ever thought I would want to have a business or will have a seven-figure business. As I was working at the university and teaching at the university and getting degrees at the university, eventually I decided I didn't like have a boss. I didn't like having somebody to tell me how much I get to make. So I decided to quit my job and start a business. And my very first business was a photography business. So I stayed in that business for about 2-3 years. I got it to six figures pretty fast. But it was a big culture shock going from a world where you didn't have to talk about yourself, you didn't have to promote yourself, into like, oh my gosh, it's not enough to be good at something, to now I have to talk about myself. I have to tell people why they should be working with me. So I had to learn a lot about marketing. So in that process, as I was had my photography studio and I started to get some traction, I realized I walked myself into a corner where I had a super successful, unscalable one-on-one business because everything I was doing was completely one-on-one. And all of my time went on working with people and I simply couldn't grow anymore because there was no more hours in a week, no more hours in a day. So right at that time, that was my next big switch in my career and my life is I decided I wanted to have a business that was scalable, that was leveraged, that was global. I didn't get stuck in like one specific location. And I did not want to have any limits on how far I could grow. And that is the business that I have right now. And within the first 4 years, we got it to $1 million. And this is kind of like a lot of people come to me and say, like, how did you manage to get to $1 million in 4 years, starting from scratch, from like not ever having a single coaching client? And one of the big reasons is I can tell you more about the struggles that we've had and how I run and beg people to work with me. And eventually what put me on the map is after about 4 months of trying to get even a single client, I decided to create an online challenge. And I ran the challenge and immediately I started getting clients. I started getting people wanted to talk to me, wanted to put me on stages, wanted to promote me. And I said, you know what? This is working. I'm going to do more of it. And everything that I have in my business right now, I basically owe to this formula that I've created and perfected over the years that I've been using for over 7 years now. And challenges is basically bread and butter of my business. We've had thousands of people who have helped with their challenge ideas. We've had lots of people going through a program. And this is kind of what I'm known for, how to create super amazing, profitable, free 5-day challenges.
See, that's your badass list, girl. That was good. I'm like, okay, I got my pen ready. I'm going to take notes to this whole thing. I love it because a lot of people do challenges. We do challenges, right? And there is a secret sauce, right? So what would you attribute your success to the 5-day challenge that you do? And can you tell me what's working today in this environment? Because I know a lot of people are Zoom fatigue, they're checking out. We get people showing up and then we get about 50% of the people show up, right? If you get 1,000 people to sign up, we only get 50% of the people to show up. I'm like, okay, there's a formula I don't know. So I'm going to be a student and the interviewer simultaneously.
Perfect. Okay, so you asked me about 5 different questions. Let me see if I can kind of decipher. So challenges are, in general, they're not new. Like, they've been around for probably hundreds of years. The whole idea of the challenge is somebody comes to you and says, I challenge you to do something. So we as human beings love being challenged. It's our way to get ourselves out of the box, out of our comfort zone, learn something new, or achieve a result that probably would not push ourselves that much. So we have this inherent and wired desire to be challenged because that's how we rise, how we grow, how we learn. So the whole premise of the challenge is we like being challenged because it helps us grow, right? So yes. That's the first thing. And when I started doing challenges about 70 years ago, it was really funny because coming from the photography world, I was participating in a lot of challenges in the kind of like informal photography groups. So we would challenge ourselves like, hey, this month we're going to shoot and perfect underwater photography. Next month we're going to shoot in a film noir style. And it's always been like, ooh, I don't know. I've never done this before. Let me try it. So I fell in love with challenges as being part of this supportive, loving communities that challenges you, keeps you accountable, and also inspires you to be better than you are right now. So when I started my coaching business that I have right now, this is what I put together. That was my brilliant aha moment. Like, let me put together this idea of challenges, but create them in a way that I can monetize it, create sort of a mini training around it, and put a little bit more of a formal structure around it. And that is what I've been working on for years. My very first challenge was 21-day challenge. I've also done 10-day challenges, 30-day challenges, 5-day challenges, 7-day challenges. And when we got to this 5-day challenge format, to me, that's like the golden number if you want to do free challenges. And there's a big difference between free challenges and paid challenges. Do you want me to talk about that?
Yes, please.
Okay, feel free to jump in at any time. Otherwise, I'll just be talking for the next 3 days.
That's okay. It's all good. It's all good.
So here's the difference between free challenges and paid challenges, because you probably see, so at the very beginning when I was saying I'm doing a challenge, I would be speaking in front of an audience of 100 people. I would say, raise your hand if you've ever done a challenge for your business or participated in a challenge. And like 3 hands would go up. Now I open my email inbox and there's like 5 invitations to challenges every single day. So like they have really taken the internet by storm and everybody is doing challenges. And I'm sure you've seen free challenges versus paid challenges. And depending on where you are in business, you need to decide which one is the right for you. So if you are first starting out in business, you might not even have a list. You might not have Facebook following. You might not have that much exposure on social media. And you're like, I don't have money for Facebook ads and I want to do a paid challenge. It's a really, really bad decision. Because if you're doing a challenge for free, it serves several different purposes. It grows your list. It grows your online following. And it gets your clients fast in a matter of days. And it's a very low cost, low tech way to put together a training that you can sell and you can monetize. Now, if you're first starting out and you're making a paid challenge, you're basically asking people to trust you right away and sign up for something. And most people struggle getting their first clients. If you already have a list of 10,000 people, 50,000 people, 100,000 people, it's really easy to do paid challenges because you can basically snap your fingers, say, I'm doing this training and it's going to be $5 or $55 or $95, something super reasonable. And you can easily have hundreds of people joining because you've spent already those years building that trust, building that credibility. So your people know they want in. If you're first starting out, do free challenges because then you're achieving, again, you're growing your visibility, you're growing your list, you're growing your following, and you're getting clients. So depending on where you are in business, you really want to choose what type of challenge you want to run.
So when you look at a 5-day challenge, what's the formula, right? So I have a certain formula that I do. Mm-hmm. So what's your formula for 5 days? That would be juicy. Look, I'm on the edge of my seat, girl.
Yes. Okay. I'll tell you, everything that I'm telling you, like every single element of it, I've tested over the years of multiple challenges, and I've had hundreds, if not thousands, of people using that formula. And we've looked at, what if you do this? Then it wouldn't work. What if you do that? So everything I'm telling you, it's not just something that came out of the air. It came from years of research and testing different other possibilities in other things. So my formula right now is it's 5 days. We start on Monday, we end on Friday. Mm-hmm. And every day people get a short video. It's pre-recorded video. So they're getting a link to pre-recorded video. And the video is about 5 to 10 minutes long. And I know it's very different from some of the challenges you might have seen where every day you go live for 2 hours and
I want to cry. This one little piece, I just want to cry. Like, oh my God, that'd be great.
Yes. And again, we could talk about the differences. I would be happy to dive in. But to finish my formula, so it's 5 days. You have 5 pre-recorded videos. Every single day, people get a short assignment, something that they can complete that day within minutes. And then every day, there's a prompt, something they need to post in our Facebook group, because we always run our challenges in the same Facebook group. And they have to post it by whatever the cutoff you decide. So I usually do 10 p.m. Pacific. And then we pick a daily prize winner from anybody who participated that day and submitted their answers. Another part of my formula is on Thursdays, and it has to be on Thursdays for many reasons, we do a live Q&A, and that live Q&A is happening on Zoom. So you can see people, they can see you, they can get on the mic, they can be on the video. So you have real-time interaction. And that's about it as far as the formula. Then in addition to that, I do pop-up Facebook Lives throughout the week. So if I see that I need to do some course correction, or I want to spotlight really good answers, or I want to answer some questions, I will pop in and I don't announce when it is in advance. And we're just basically saying, okay, so here's what I'm noticing. Let me give you some feedback. Or here's some of the things that I see going wrong. And here's how you can improve it. Let me give you some coaching or answer some questions. And then after the 5 days over, we're giving people 2 more days to complete and catch up. On 7th day, we remove all the videos. And on 7th day, we also do a grand prize drawing. For everybody who completed all 5 days of assignments, we do a big grand prize, something that people want. And then we do a big hoopla around like actually doing a live drawing and choosing the winner. So that's
and what's normally the grand prize? Is it education? Is it what's your normal?
It depends. We usually have it as a package deal. So it's could be like a $100 Amazon gift certificate or a $100 cash. Sometimes it's time with me. Sometimes it's time with my coaches. And it could be access to a training or a ticket to an event. So it's usually like a bundle of several things.
And then from the challenge, are we upselling them to something else? What are we upselling them
to? So challenge is always part of a bigger launch. So the way I look at challenges in my business, I don't do any promotions in my business unless I put a challenge in front of it first. And you can use challenges to enhance any results you're getting. So if I wanted to fill my event, instead of just selling tickets to my event or doing webinars, I would do a challenge. Then I would do my regular webinars and I sell tickets to the events. If I want to launch a book, I would do a challenge and then we'll get it into the launch of the book. If I wanted to get one-on-one clients or fill a program, so anything that comes along, you're basically thinking like, okay, great, this is what I would normally be doing. And then I'll put a challenge in front of it to amplify the results, to bring more eyeballs on whatever I'm offering and get them engaged. Because if people are engaged with you, they're actually really paying attention to what's coming up next. The whole point of the challenge, of doing a challenge, is twofold. One is to build trust with new people who maybe have never even heard from you before or re-engage with you in the existing audience. And the second thing is build the desire for whatever is coming next. So if you run your challenge properly, by day 5, your people should be asking you, and do you also help us with whatever your next thing is coming? So if by day 4 or 5, people basically begging you for what's coming next, you know you've done a really good challenge.
And then what's the sweet spot in the upsell? Is there a price point that, you know, the sweet spot is this or?
There's no sweet spot. The beauty of the 5-day challenges, at least in the way we run them, we have people who sell $7 things, $20 things. It's super easy to sell like $199 or $97. So a lot of my clients who are starting out and they're brand new, they will package something or do a training or do a program at $97 to $197, really easy to get clients from that. And then I also have clients who come and say, I want to sell my high-end mastermind. I want to sell a $10,000 package or $20,000 package, and they can easily sell that. So one of the people you probably know, Gina Gabellini, so she came to me and her biggest concern was, she said, I want to do a free 5-day challenge, but I'm afraid that I'm only going to attract freebie seekers. And right. I want to sell a $10,000 mastermind. So I don't think it's going to work. So I'm like, Gina, are you trusting me? So she says, I'll trust you. So I have a program on how to do challenges. So she took my program and she made $250,000 from a 5-day challenge selling her $10,000 mastermind. So like,
that's awesome.
And the cool thing, like the whole, I'm all into like science and psychology of why things actually work the way they are. Is the cool thing with the challenges, it doesn't ever attract freebie seekers. What it attracts is it attracts action takers. Mm. Because the big difference between challenges and all of the other free lead magnets you know of is when people download a free report, what do? We download it, we say, it made me feel good. Now it's on my hard drive and you never look at it, right?
Or you never look at it again.
Yes, exactly. So challenge is not that way. Challenge is experiential. It's not about information. That's why my videos are 5 to 10 minutes long. I'm not going to overwhelm you with what I know and dazzle you with everything I know. I'm going to give you the gem. I'm going to give you like one specific thing that's going to like change your paradigm and give you something actionable to do and then put you into action. So it's all about being in action, listening to directions and implementing and seeing results right away. So the reason the challenges are so popular and people participate in them and good challenges lead to great results is that you basically taking people through that filter of who my ideal clients are. Because if people can follow you for 5 days, follow your direction, watch your videos, like the way you're teaching, start getting results, you basically at the end being handed your ideal clients on a platter because they're the ones who completed everything. They're the ones who finished everything. They're the one who took action. And like in my book, those are the people I want to work with. So yes. And people sometimes go like, what if like I have 100 people sign up and only 30 people finished or only 50 people finished, but those are your ideal clients.
Right.
You just put them through a filter. And now you know those are the people who will follow your directions, like the way you teach, can implement it and love getting results from you.
A couple caveats that you did, which most of my clients do, and I'm guilty of it too, is we want to give so much. But wait, Alana, I have more. And we don't need to give more, right? I love it. The nugget of the 5 to 7 minutes only and one nugget.
And that's what's another thing. Like if you're doing paid challenges, it's not as important because there's a more of a commitment. Like I paid, even if it's $20, I've made a commitment. So I'm going to stick to it. In the free challenges, you have to give people enough incentives to complete the whole thing. When I see those challenges where people go like, hey, I'm going to do a Facebook Live for an hour every day or 2 hours every day. Like nobody has that much time on their calendar. If you give people like what I tell them, join, it's a free training. I'm going to help you with get these specific results that you already want. And it's a micro commitment. It's only 5 days. It's only minutes a day and you will start seeing the results. And when people see it, we have so many people saying, yours is the only challenge I've ever finished. Oh my gosh, I've actually completed every single daily assignment and it was precise. It was the laser focused action. I could do it. I could see results right away instead of waiting through hours and hours of information and still not knowing what I need to
do. What do I do? Give me an example of what the homework would be. Like what's the simple doable thing? It could be a money challenge. It could be where they're working.
Yeah. So it could be anything. So let's say your first day is some kind of a money challenge. Let's say you, on day one, you're talking about your money mindset, right?
Yeah.
So you could be talking about like what is holding you back, what are some of your money blocks, and you can give people like 3 or 4 questions to answer and go through some kind of a self-exploration, for example. So that would be nice, easy, precise, like 10-minute video, right? So their assignment could be answer those 5 questions and what is your biggest money block or what's your relationship with money or how was money treated in your family when you were growing up, whatever helps them kind of discover what could be holding them back. Or like, do you think money is evil or money is good? Like anything, it could be like 10 questions. Right. So that's going to be their assignment. So their assignment is what they do on their own. And then the prompt would be what they post to the public in Facebook group. Sometimes I could just say like, hey, post a screenshot of your work if it's something that people wouldn't mind sharing. If we're talking about like money, some people are a little bit more like, I don't know if I want the public to know. So you can simply just, the prompt could be, after doing this assignment, what is your biggest takeaway? Or after doing this assignment, what are the 3 blocks you have identified? Or after doing this assignment, what is the first action step you're going to take? Does that make sense?
So much sense. Yes. Love
it.
So
it's very simple to kind of go do it. Even in my videos, I sometimes just say, okay, pause this video right now, grab a piece of paper, answer these questions, and then restart the video. Okay, so we're going and we're working. So I'm immediately putting them into action and implementation.
Look, it's so simple, it confused me.
Honestly, that's the funniest thing. So people work with me, like they hire me for VIP days to help them design their challenge, or I do like a debrief of the challenges they've done. And most of the people, especially at the like multi-six-figure, seven-figure level when you're established, the hardest part is how do I say less? Because we can talk for hours. And most of the stuff, I'm like, okay, what you've just created, it's not a five-day challenge. This is like a five-week course. Now, right. How do we cut it in half, cut it in half, cut it in half?
So I'm so guilty of this, Alana.
Yes.
I love it.
That's the hardest part, I think.
I was going to ask you, what are the biggest mistakes? But I think you just shared, right?
No, actually, one of them would be putting way too much because you don't want to overwhelm people. But as far as the overwhelming people, when it comes to challenges, less is more because people actually crave simplicity.
Yes.
People crave simple step-by-step action. It's almost like, just tell me what I need to do and I do it. So when we're creating our challenges, what we recommend is you have to explain what they need to do, why they need to do, give them examples, and then send them off doing it. You don't need to dazzle them again with your 30 years of experience, because what people want is simplicity and step-by-step instructions. Like if you can do that, you're going to be like on a level of its own, like honestly. Okay. And then going back, the biggest mistakes people make is actually with choosing the topic of their challenge. And it's very interesting because it's true across the board. I see it in people who just getting started, don't have much experience, like don't know much about creating products. And I also see it with like multi-million dollar businesses who've been in business for like 20, 30 years. The hardest thing with choosing the topic is we've kind of been used to creating free lead magnets like checklists, templates, ebooks, reports that are very similar to what we're trying to sell. If you look at the more traditional launch models, so I teach like a challenge launch model, but more traditional like PLF, Jeff Walker's launch model, you have your launch and then you have your pre-launch content with the PLCs, the pre-launch content that's very similar and very tied to what you're promising. And you cannot do it with challenges because the differences again between the free stuff, free lead magnets and challenges is in free lead magnets, you want people to get interested in it, but they're not doing anything with that information.
Right.
In challenges, you want them to start doing stuff and start seeing the results. And that's where things fall apart. So I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you want to sell your $2,000 program on how to get clients from LinkedIn. If you were to create a lead magnet, you would probably write something like three most important things for getting clients on LinkedIn. And people would love it, would download it, not do anything with it, and still buy your program because they want the results. When you're doing a challenge, the first thought that comes to mind is, I'm going to do a challenge on how to get clients from LinkedIn or how to get your first client from LinkedIn. And people think that if they give people just a little bit, a taste of it, then they'll want to buy the full program. But what really happens if you do a good job with the challenge and people actually seeing the results, here's what goes through our heads. It goes, ooh, I just learned how to get one client. Now I can get as many as I want. So why would I ever pay money for more of what I perceive to be the same? We don't know what we don't know. We always assume that we know more. As soon as you relieve their pain, as soon as you give us a Band-Aid, we're like, okay, I'm good. I don't need anything else. So the biggest mistake, if you're listening to us right now and writing it down, write it down. The biggest mistake is when the promise of your challenge is too similar or the same as the promise of your paid offer. So if you do that, what happens is people at the end of the challenge will say, this was awesome. This was amazing. Thank you for teaching me all of this. Goodbye.
Yes.
And they will never say yes. And I have so many people coming to me saying, I've done a challenge. Everybody loved it. They participated and nobody bought my program. Or my sales were like non-existent. I was expecting to sell 100 of my programs and I only sold 3. And when we look at it, it's the promises are basically too similar. And because you're getting people into action and helping them get the results, they don't feel like they need your program anymore. So that is the biggest mistake people make.
I love it. My mouth is open. I'm just like, exactly. I'm doing it all wrong and I've done well in my business and career. Which
Well, and that's the funny thing is because even smart people who have very, very successful businesses make that mistake.
Yeah. Well, marketing is such a combination, right? And there's a system for it. And we're kind of bubblegum, shoestring, band-aid, duct tape from that person, this person, that person, this person. Yes. I always like to find people like you to go, just tell me, like, show me. I'm like a Xerox machine and then I can do it and duplicate it. So part of my love for this podcast is we get to meet people like you that maybe it would take them years to run across you. Now we get to run across you and go, let's save you millions of dollars, not hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars because we're doing it wrong.
Well, or how much money are we leaving less on the efficiently. Table?
Yes, exactly. Right.
You can get such better results if you just think like even that thing alone that they just said that could save you millions of dollars.
Millions. Or how much money am I leaving on the table because I could double my efficiency or double my closing rate by just pulling back a little bit. We're giving them the whole buffet and we just wanted to give them a snack.
Yes.
And that's easy to say, hard to do from my perspective, hard to do.
Sure.
So this is going to be an obvious question now that we've gone through this, but so many people are struggling right now because of COVID and the pandemic. And there's always something in our economy, right? So this just happens to be what we're going through now. What have you been doing during this whole process to keep your business growing, thriving, and being in action?
Yeah, our business almost doubled during the first year of pandemic. So we must be doing something right. One of the things we've done, so the year prior to pandemic, we were running 3 or 4 challenges a year during the pandemic because, well, a whole bunch of my vacations got canceled. I'm like, okay, I have free time. I'll do more challenges. So we've done 5 challenges that year. We also did 5 challenges this year. So we just kind of doubled down on things that are working well for us. And there's another beautiful thing about challenges is that it brings people together. And during pandemic or anything that's ever happening, like solopreneurs very often feel pretty isolated. A lot of the times we're just in our own home office somewhere, sitting behind the computer, not really talking to people all that much. And now that there's a lot fewer life events, a lot fewer places to go to, like we're even more isolated. And one of the things that challenges does is it brings people together because now we're part of a community. Now we're surrounded by like-minded people going through the same process. So people actually, I feel like they're more interested in challenges even now because they're on the same path. They're getting inspired and they're not feeling alone. Like I'm not the only one learning this, or I'm not the only one that wasn't getting this. There's other hundreds or thousands of people doing this with me. And now I feel like I'm part of something else. So there's that big part. So we kind of, again, doubled down on challenges and just in general, kind of doubled our efforts on helping create more active and engaged communities. So for me, Facebook group is a big part of how I grow my business, and Facebook groups go hand in hand with challenges because you're only running a challenge for 5 days and now you have this community. You have to keep nurturing them. You have to keep giving them value. You have to keep talking to them. And then you run a challenge again and you monetize the community, you bring them on your list and so forth. So for me, it's a very symbiotic relationship between challenges and growing your Facebook communities. That's why we teach both. And the way our business was set up to begin with, we basically didn't notice anything that's been happening in the world and our business just got stronger. And everything I teach is around creating digital programs, digital communities, digital trainings, whether free or virtual. And so we're doing a lot more virtual workshops. We took all of our life events and put them in an online world. So just kind of keep going where we're going, just a little bit more virtual.
Exactly. It's been great for me and my business. I've loved it. I love not traveling. Girl, I haven't worn high heels in 2 years. I don't know if
I can ever. I miss traveling and I miss wearing high heels.
I don't know. I kind of like wearing my flats. I'm like, ooh, I don't know. So let's talk about, because growing a business, we have our own challenges, right? People think for some reason you're on a pedestal and you don't have your own challenges growing a multi-million dollar business. So let's talk about what's been one of your biggest failures, challenges, whatever you want to label it. And then what was the biggest learning lesson from it?
So if I look over the years, one of my weakest points for me as an individual probably is having a team. So for me, that's been one of the biggest struggles. How do I bring people? How do I tell them? How do I like not micromanage? And part of it is because I am so good at so many things. Like, it's so much easier for me to say, let me just do it. Like, yes. You don't have to worry about that. So for me, it took years and years and years and a lot of self-restraint and control and personal growth to allow other people to step in, to allow other people to take on parts of my business so I don't have to work as many hours, and actually trusting and being with people and creating a culture of the whole teamwork. So for me, it's still something that I'm constantly working on, even today. I have some amazing people I got to work with over the years and that I have right now in my business. But honestly, I sometimes look back and I'm like, you've stayed with me, sir, some of those times that I was not the best boss and not the best leader. So that's definitely something that's been different for me. It's not the skill that I've had, not something that I've ever learned. And then, so I had to work on it on myself quite a bit. So that's kind
that's of juicy. That's my area. I think we all, as entrepreneurs, because you are the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, until you can't grow a business past the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Yes. You're like, I need more butchers.
But it's kind of fun now where I'm like, hey, go do this. And then they come back the next day and it's done. That feels good.
I was talking to a client before this and I'm like, if we have to tell your team what to do, they're probably not the right team. They should be coming with their skill sets, or we're micromanaging, right? And just looking at that experience. So
yeah, for me, it's the hardest thing with like giving up the control.
Yes, that's me. I'm a control freak. But my team knows it, right?
Mm-hmm. Even when I hire people, I'm like, let me know if I'm stepping in your territory. Let me know, like, this is what I do. So point it out if I'm doing it and not noticing it.
But that takes a lot of humility as a leader, right? You got to put your ego aside and swallow it and go, okay, I know there's smarter people. I think I've built multi-million dollar companies because I've always found really smart people and let them do it.
Yeah. Eventually, like, do stuff better than you.
Yes. Yes. And just because I can do it doesn't mean I should be doing it.
Right.
Especially in different seasons of your business. There's a season where we have to do it, and then there's a season you should not be doing that. Because we're about generating the money, generating the plan, generating the strategy, and giving
them our plans, big picture.
Big plans, big picture. I love that. You dropped so many diamonds, right, in my challenges. Yes. One, I want to know, how do you work? I heard you do VIP days. You have an online course, and then you
have... Specifically around the challenges, we have a training, like a home study program, or once a year, we run it live. That has everything that I know about challenges. So it's a 5-week program or 5-module program. We also once or twice a year do challenge intensive, which is about a 10-day intensive where we have a group of 20 people or so that we help them get all of their stuff done for the challenge, or for challenge-based launch, actually, because we also include copy and the webinars and the challenge itself. And then I do VIP days as well.
And what's the VIP look like? Is it 4 hours, 8 hours?
I do half a day or full day. For a challenge, I would probably recommend the full day. And with challenges, what actually works best is if you invest in the full day and then we do it as 2 separate days, because the first one, we can plan everything out, do the big picture, and then you or your team put everything together. And then we're looking at, like, we're going to look at all of your scripts. We're going to look at all of your assignments. We're going to look at all of your prompts, fine tune it. And then there's a conversation also around like the actual positioning of your community, because when you're creating a challenge, you need to have a Facebook group that's going to support those challenges that you're going to create, and looking at how you're going to keep engaging your community. That's always part of that conversation. So for me, like, if I'm working with someone and we're creating a challenge, I want to go beyond the challenge with the people you're bringing in. What are you going to do with them? So you're always going to have people buying your next offer, and you're always going to have people who are not quite ready yet or not at that level. So how are you going to nurture them and keep them with you for the next time when you have the next offer that's going to be a better fit for them? It's a combined conversation. I don't want to look at the challenges as like, hey, here's this little cool trick. Let me teach you how to do the trick. We look at it more of a perspective. How does it fit into your whole entire business? Yes. And how do we continue? So it's a continuous ongoing thing. And also, how do you monetize your challenges when you're running them live or after you're done running them? Because there's a way to make money even on free challenges before you even started promoting it, during the challenge, and after the challenge is over.
If you look back in your life, Alana, what's the one thing you want to be remembered for?
I think for being a teacher. I think that's always been in my blood, will always be in my blood. And even though I've kind of changed my directions over the years, one thing that I can't live without is teaching. So even when I had my photography business, one of the reasons I walked away from it was I did not have as much of the teaching component to it. So for me, that's actually one of my books here, Teach Your Expertise. So for me,
I have that book on my shelf.
Like that's one of my core things. I'm going this like learn, do, teach triangle. So mm-hmm. anything in my life, as soon as I learn something, as soon as I master something, then I have to teach it to someone. Otherwise, I'll burst.
So yes.
I want to kind of be remembered for that. And I always want to make people's lives simpler. I'm all about simplicity. I'm all about like step-by-step processes, breaking stuff apart. One of my degrees is in engineering. So I'm all about like, how do we make it simple and then explain it to people? So teaching would be the thing I would like to be remembered for.
I love that. Now, how do we find you? How do people find you? Like on your social media, website?
The easiest way and probably the best way to connect with me and know everything that's going on in my life is joining my Facebook group. It's called Business Owners Who Think Big. You can just type it in and you'll find it. If you're interested in participating in any of my challenges, our next one is scheduled for like a month from now. So we do them like last year, we've done at least 5 a year. We'll probably do the same. So we kind of do them every couple of months. So it's all happening in that group. So if you want to join my group, Business Owners Who Think Big, you'll always know what's going on in my life.
I love that. Alana, thank you so much for your wisdom, your expertise. I want you to share this, like this. If you know someone who's struggling with their own challenges and you want to share Alana's genius, please forward this podcast to them. They will thank you immensely for it. Make sure you like the podcast. I appreciate you being our guest and I appreciate your time and your energy and your expertise.
Sure. And we do have a gift for them too. Did you want to?
I love that. Yes.
Yes. We do have a gift because one of the questions I get from people is, can we get a little bit more details on the elements that go into creating a 5-day challenge? So I have a very special gift for you called Challenge Checklist. You can go to thechallengechecklist.com and download. It's a PDF that actually has the check marks. And it's exactly the same checklist me and my team use when we create new challenges. And it has everything you need to create in terms of the names, the posts, the emails, the promotional materials, what kind of opt-in pages you need. Everything is included there. So I hope you go and grab that link.
We will grab it. I love it. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for serving us and giving us a free gift because we love prizes. Yay. I really appreciate your time today. And I appreciate the wisdom that you shared.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Power Your Profits podcast. Let these building blocks from today's most successful industry leaders equip you with the necessary resources and tools to finally establish the highly profitable business of your dreams. Want to hear more? Listen to more episodes at https://poweryourprofitspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the show. Now is your time to rise to the top of your game. So be sure to catch our next episode. Until next time.